Agatha Raisin by M.C. Beaton. Dramatized for radio by David Semple. Starring Penelope Keith as Agatha. Episode 4. The Gardener's Legacy.
Hello?
Hi, Aggie. Just calling to ask how you got on at the Garden Festival.
Oh, Roy.
Well, were they wowed by your wisteria? Did your peonies win prizes? Did your nasturtiums knock them dead?
You've been practicing that all week, haven't you?
It's a gift.
Well, the Garden Festival didn't go exactly as planned. Do you remember Mary Fortune, the woman with the Gucci shoes and the matching facelift?
Oh, yes, I remember her. She reminded me of the screen by Edvard Munch.
She's dead.
No.
James and I found the body. Whoever killed her, wrapped her up in a bin liner, buried her head in a terracotta pot and tied her ankles to a hanging basket.
That's awful. Anyway, how did you do in the competition?
Roy, did you hear what I just said? A woman was killed. Whether I won any prizes or not isn't really relevant.
You came second, then?
Thanks to you, I was disqualified.
Oh, Aggie, what happened? Did they see the van from the garden centre?
Those little labels you put on, Fremontodendron rhubarbia or whatever, they were all attached to the wrong plants.
Now, that's not my fault. I told Gary to put them on from left to right. It was all written on a piece of paper.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore, does it? Are you still coming up this weekend?
Well, I'm not sure. Every time I visit, someone seems to drop down dead.
Yes, well, it's a small village. It's not likely to happen every week.
Fair enough. Well, in that case, I should be round on Friday with a chocolate fudge cake and a bottle of Bombay Sapphire.
Well, I've got to go now. I'm seeing the police this morning.
Oh, dear. You're not going to confess to the whole grisly murder, are you?
Can I get you a cup of tea, Mrs. Raisin?
No, thanks. I think D.C. Wong is calling me back in a second.
Rightio.
Agatha, so they've been interrogating you too, have they?
Yes, James, for the past 2 hours. I'm beginning to wonder, are they investigating her murder or turning her life into a musical?
Well, I've had it up to here with the whole business. It has not been the best week of my life. First, there was the hernia operation, prodded and poked by a team of doctors, one of whom appeared to be eating a tuna sandwich.
Oh, I forgot to ask, how did that go?
Well, they put back all the bits that came out. I just hope it's not the start of a slippery slip. I expect my internal organs to stay put and wait for their orders.
Look, at a certain age, you really have to start listening to your body because it certainly doesn't listen to you.
I do not take lessons on health matters from someone who smokes like a dark satanic mill. Anyway, that surgery was nothing compared to the ordeal I'd just been through.
They didn't throw you down the stairs to get a confession, did they?
No, I could handle that. But I've been asked the most impertinent questions by young men who do not appear to have started shaving yet.
Don't tell me the policemen seem much younger these days.
Everyone looks younger these days. Even the Dalai Lama has a spring in his step.
Well, one thing about being a certain age, at least they're less likely to suspect you of murder. I mean, you didn't hoist Mary up and bury her head like that 2 days after a hernia operation.
Well, have you know, with modern surgery, in less than 24 hours, you can be swimming, cycling, jogging, and presumably killing people.
Really? I'm amazed they don't put that in their brochure.
Right, you two. Would you both come down to my office, please?
Oh, dear. I think this is the bit where he tells us to keep out of this investigation.
And leave it to people who've only just given up their paper rods.
No, first things first. There are tabloid journalists all over the village.
And I probably know each and every one of them. I was in PR for 30 years, remember? I've eaten most journalists for breakfast.
Well, in that case, you are to go home, don't answer the door, and take the phone off the hook. I don't want you talking to them.
Bill, I can handle the press. I know how to speak the language of reptiles.
Well, you're not doing your Dr. Doolittle routine this time. I do not want to read according to James Lacey, or according to Mrs. Raisin, or according to an unnamed source with a cat named Chivers.
Now, hold on. I thought you chaps used the press as your main line of attack. I mean, how are you going to get information if you don't have appeals for witnesses?
Mr. Lacey, we use the press, not you. That way we can control it, and any dangerous rumours get knocked on the head.
With respect, Bill, you have as much control of the press as David Attenborough has over herds of rampaging wildebeest.
Phone call for you, Bill.
Whoever it is, tell him I'll talk to him later.
Righto.
And another thing.
Yes.
I do not want you two sticking your noses in. Whoever did this is extremely dangerous.
Well, whoever did this is unlikely to live in this village. I mean, the killer picked her up like a sack of potatoes. I can't visualize someone from the Carsley Lady Society doing that.
Mrs. Mason could probably manage it.
We are currently following all lines of inquiry. And until this case is solved, you are not to talk to anyone about it. Understood?
Yes, I think that's a reasonable request.
Agatha?
My lips are sealed.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. In the past, I've been very grateful for your help, but this time
Bill, is the chief constable on the line and he really won't hold.
All right, you two, I'll just be a second.
Right, James, who should we talk to first?
Well, Bernard Spott seems quite promising. I mean, he was rather close to Mary.
I want to save him for later. How about the Boggles?
What about the coffee shop?
Did you read my letter?
All right.
Look who's here. Oh, it's you two, is it? I'm watching neighbours on the telly, so you'll just have to wait. Don't expect tea or coffee neither. I've got better things to do with my pension.
We just wanted to tell you.
I said I'm watching neighbours.
Something's going on around here, and I don't like it.
Right, that's it. That's done. No more rubbish.
We were hoping to talk to you about the late Mary Fortune.
Mary Fortune? Trollop tart.
But I thought Mary took you for trips from the countryside.
Oh, well, she did once. But the second time she come round here and I said I wanted to go to Bristol to look at the ships, didn't I, Boggle?
Yes.
She said it were too far and I said, didn't I, Boggle, that it was her duty to help the old get about? Not all of us had money to go gallivanting about in large cars.
And what did Mary say to that?
That painted hussy had the cheek to say we should be in an old folks home. I mean, did you ever hear the like? So I told her to get out and take her trollopy ways with her.
Yes, you told her. You certainly told her.
Is there any chance of opening the window? I'm boiling in here.
It's like being in a greenhouse.
No, you can't open a window. I'm not going to freeze to death for the likes of you. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Next thing I know, all our garden gnomes have had their heads chopped off. And there's no doubt in my mind who did the chopping.
Well, that seems very strange behaviour for a middle-aged woman.
Oh, you would take her side now, wouldn't you? I think it was disgraceful the way you two carried on. I mean, in my day, we got married before there was any of that.
Right. Thank you for your help.
But it suddenly got much too hot in here.
When are you going to take us out again, Mrs. Reason? We had a lovely trip last time.
Right. Sorry, my car's out of service.
Oh, can you get a fake note?
The only mechanic who was qualified has moved to Kuala Lumpur, so afraid not.
Oh, dear.
Come on, James.
Goodbye.
Hey, hang on, why don't you take it?
Life is far too short to be nice to old people.
Really, Agatha? Now, about Mary.
Oh, yes. When Mrs. Boggle started talking about you two, I thought I was going to have to hose you down.
Well, she was just a friend, but one night she did invite me back to her conservatory.
I see. And did you exchange seedlings?
Well, it was a moment of midsummer madness. Sorry.
I don't know why you're apologizing. It's not as if I'm jealous or anything.
Oh, good. Oh, excellent. Well done.
Right. Well, I think we should visit Bernard Spott. The Boggles had their gnomes decapitated. He had his fish poisoned. There has to be a link.
It's going to be a bit tricky to pull that one off. I mean, D.C. Wong is rather expecting us to go home and keep our noses clean.
We don't have to tell him.
Yes, but if Bernard is being besieged by the massed ranks of Fleet Street's grubbiest, what happens if we get photographed on his doorstep?
There's one surefire way to make sure you never get your picture in the papers.
What's that, then? Join the Liberal Democrats?
No. Close your eyes. No picture editor will ever use a photo where the subject has their eyes shut. It looks terrible.
Oh, so we make our way there by braille, then, do we?
Exactly. Eyes shut and try not to step on the reptiles.
Excuse me, are you in relation to Mr. Spott?
No comment.
Ow!
Oh, terribly sorry. Was that your foot?
Have you got the sun in your eyes, mate?
I refer you to the answer my colleague gave earlier.
Are you just scared of looking at the village of death?
No, that's really unfair. It's not at all like that. If you live here...
Don't rise to the bait. He just wants a photo of you looking angry.
Oh, sorry. No comment, old chap.
Come in, Mrs. Reason. Mr. Lacey, the rest of you can bugger off. Oh... How long will these siege conditions continue? Well,
another couple of weeks, I'm afraid. This week, the tabloids will write about the village of death. Next week, all the posh papers will say how appalling the tabloids have been, and then they'll quote every salacious detail.
Makes me ashamed to be British. And the police are no better. How will they ever find Mary's killer? They don't even know who killed my goldfish.
Bernard, I know this is going to sound strange, but there is a theory going round that Mary was responsible for the garden vandalism.
Mary? Mary Fortune? It's inconceivable.
Well, why not?
Mrs. Raisin, Mary was a wonderful, generous human being. And when I think of all that beauty extinguished in one barbaric act...
Well, that may be the male point of view. Some people see her as a manipulative floozy who slept with anything in trousers.
Get out.
What?
Get out of my house.
Oh, I was just making conversation.
Well, may I suggest you offer your crackpot theories to the police?
Well, I thought you said the police were no use.
I'm prepared to be interviewed by the police. I consider it one of the more unpleasant duties of being a British subject. When it comes to the likes of you two, it seems like vulgar curiosity.
Oh, Bernard, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for Mary.
Do you mind? I have a Boy Scouts jamboree to organise. Kindly leave me to get ready.
Well, what do you expect from a geriatric scoutmaster?
Agatha, have you ever considered a career as an international diplomat? With your skills as a peacemaker, the world will be plunged into Armageddon within seconds.
Eyes closed, James. Don't let the reptiles see you.
I mean, how did you work in PR so long without anybody hitting you?
Usually I hit them first.
Come on, you two. A joke's a joke. How about a nice picture? Oh. Hey!
Oh, dear. Was that your camera? I do hope it wasn't too expensive. There you go, Chivers. I know I've been ignoring you, and yes, I am trying to fob you off with food, but it is that rather nice turkey with a little bit of jelly in it.
Is it all right if I stay for a bit?
Oh, are we friends again?
Just I don't fancy running the gauntlet of the press anymore. It's been a rough few days.
Yes, I'm feeling the strain too. Time for a cigarette.
Oh, well, to your life you're smoking away.
Do you have to be so sanctimonious? The VAT on my cigarettes pays for every hospital in Britain. I suppose you don't approve of dialysis machines, CAT scans, children's wards. Oh, don't answer it, James. That'll be a tabloid newspaper wanting us to pose with a terracotta pot and a length of rope.
Oh, yes, some dreadful rag. Oh, probably the Guardian.
You've reached the answer phone of Agatha Raisin. Please leave a message.
A message from Mrs. Raisin. This is Mr. Wilmot here from
Hello?
Hello, Chivers.
Yes, it is.
You're a clever old cat, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Who do you think murdered Mary Fortune?
Well, what's that got to do with me?
Was it strange old Bernard?
Did she really?
Nasty Mr. Boggle.
Well, when can I come round?
His evil wife.
Right, I'll be there this afternoon.
Or none of the above.
I'll see you later. Bye.
Who was that, then? Wrong number.
That was Mary's solicitors. Apparently, she's left me something in her will.
Oh, you too.
What?
She left me something as well. I got the message this morning.
Really? And when were you going to tell me?
Well, to be honest, I found it a little difficult. I wasn't sure if you'd be jealous.
Jealous? Me?
Yes, you.
I am old enough and ugly enough to accept that Mary had a thing for you. After all, you are her type.
What does that mean?
You wear trousers and you've got a pulse.
Oh, I see. So that's why women queue up outside my door with homemade cakes. That's why I can't get my book written because of constant interruption from the Carsley Ladies' Society. It's because I have a pulse, is it?
Well, it gives you the edge over most of their husbands.
Yes, I suppose men are a bit of an endangered species in the Cotswolds. At least I shall never want for a Victoria sponge.
So let's go and see what your last fondant fancy left for you. And more to the point, what she's left me.
Mm. Ah, there you are. Take a seat, please, Mr. Lacey, Mrs. Raisin.
Thank you.
Now, you will understand that I'm duty-bound to read the exact words that Mary used in her last will and testament.
Certainly, yes.
Although some of these words are calculated to wound.
Fire away. I've probably heard worse.
Very well. To Mrs. Agatha Raisin of 10 Lilac Lane, Carsley, Gloucestershire, I leave the sum of £5,000. This is to pay for a tummy tuck and a much-needed course of Botox.
Well, I'm being bitched from beyond the grave, am I?
Would you like me to continue?
Yes, please do, by all means.
To James Lacey of 8 Lilac Lane, I leave £5,000 for services rendered, although these services were not really worth that much.
You had a wonderful sense of humour, Mary.
And that is the sum total of your bequests.
When will the money come through?
Well, it is, of course, subject to a police investigation, but dependent on the outcome, I should be able to extract the grant of probate and convert your legacies within this fiscal cycle.
Before you become a solicitor, do you need a degree in gobbledygook?
Mrs. Raisin, you will have your money all in good time.
Of course, I was forgetting. There are 100 days in a solicitor's month. Right, James, I'll see you back in the car.
You stand be offended by Mrs. Raisin, and thank you for reading it all with such a straight face.
Well, it sounds as if it was more than just one night of midsummer madness.
It's not illegal.
Of course not. I just thought you had better taste.
Are you going to accept your money?
May as well. It'll pay for my ridiculous garden, and I only bought that to keep up with her.
Well, where do we go from here?
Left at the light, straight past Mr. Wu's heavenly pagoda, and then we're in the village.
No, I mean with the murder investigation.
Oh.
Whoever killed Mary must have had incredible strength. Which rules out 99% of the village.
We really aren't getting anywhere, are we?
But do you have any bright ideas?
No, I mean the traffic. We're gridlocked.
Oh, yes, it's the Boy Scouts Jamboree. Remember, Bernard's Spot's little extravaganza.
So what's all that scaffolding on the village green?
Let's get out and have a look.
Come on, boys! Hoist yourselves up! Just your forearms! Don't use your whole body! Just the forearms!
You know, I really feel short should be illegal for anyone over 50.
Well, he's managed to shake the press off.
The press wouldn't want to come here. They don't want happy pictures of people getting on with their lives. They want empty streets, tearful faces, the village of death.
As opposed to our very strange rural customs.
What exactly are they doing on that haystack?
It's some kind of mountain rescue display. They're picking each other up with ropes and pulleys.
How useful. Once they've learned to do that, they can break into upstairs windows.
Oh, don't be such a killjoy. It's amazing how much weight one Boy Scout can carry. What did Archimedes say? If I had a big enough lever, I could lift the world.
Or if I had a rope and pulley system, I could pick up a heavy corpse.
Well done, boys! Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The next display will be at 5 o'clock sharp.
Should we go to the police?
Not yet. Let's pop round to Bernard's garden.
Agatha, you know that feeling you have when you absolutely know something is the right thing to do?
Yes.
Well, I'm definitely not having that now. In fact, I'm feeling quite the opposite.
If you don't want to help, you can go home. I'm sure you've got a crossword puzzle to solve.
Good idea. The only thing in my life that still makes some kind of sense.
Go on, then.
No, I couldn't go home. I'm not having your death on my conscience.
I am perfectly safe. Bernard is half a mile away teaching Boy Scouts how to be catbirds.
Well, what are we looking for?
I don't know. Rope, weed killer, sharp implements.
Good grief, Agatha. You could arrest all of Carsley for possession of those. And please don't disturb the fish.
Looks as though he's got some new ones. Aren't they the most boring pets in the world? Do you like goldfish?
Actually, I do. Although I prefer koi, which is what these are.
Do you have to be so pernickety?
The correct word is pedantic.
Give me strength. James, what are those?
Oh, by the pond.
They're tiny little headstones, look.
Must be some sort of pet cemetery.
In loving memory of Judith Victoria, who was taken far too soon.
Must have been a cat or a dog or something.
I'm going in the shed.
Agatha, no, you really mustn't. I absolutely forbid you. And what fiendish item are you hoping to find in there?
Towel. I want to know what's buried here.
Now this time you really are going too far. I insist that you stop. No, I demand it.
Or you'll do what? Write a strongly worded letter to the Daily Telegraph?
What are you going to say if Bernard comes back?
I don't know. Good evening, Bernard.
When he sees the way you've poked about in his garden, he'll be seething.
Middle-aged scoutmasters do not seethe. They quietly stew inside their shorts. If Bernard comes back, I'll improvise. I always get away with it.
I know you do. That's because you always had people around to help pick up the pieces.
I think I've reached something.
Agatha, it's going to be a Jack Russell or a cat.
No, it isn't. It's smaller, about the size of a fish. In my opinion, anyone who builds a graveyard for fish is not quite the full shilling.
It's a bit of a sweeping statement.
Right, open the box.
It is a fish.
To a normal person, it's a fish. To Bernard, it's dearly beloved Judith Victoria.
What are you doing with Judith Victoria? Why have you desecrated her grave?
Bernard, thank goodness we found you. We just wanted to warn you that the police are on to you. They tested the rope that hanged Mary and they traced it back to you.
They couldn't have done. It was the scout's rope.
Oh, dear. I think you've just given yourself away, old chap.
The world's better off without that woman and her sneering and her lies. She led me on, you know. She told me to come and see her. In her conservatory.
You weren't the first man to visit her conservatory.
We used to spend many happy evenings there, discussing leaf mould and pest control. And then she told me that she'd broken up with her lover. Mm. He'd had an operation, so he was no use to her. And she asked me where she was going to get another man in this village. And I told her to look no further.
And did she take you up on the offer?
She just laughed at me. She said I was a sad old man who wasn't in her league.
She did have quite a vicious streak.
So do I, Mr. Lacey. I told her it was far too hot in there and she'd better watch out or her face would melt.
How did she take that?
She just giggled. Didn't seem to mind. But that night, she crept into my garden, poured weed killer all over my beautiful, innocent fish.
Take your time, Bernard. Take your time.
She didn't know I'd seen her, but I did. A light sleeper.
So what did you do?
I did nothing. I'm a gardener, Mrs. Raisin, and the one thing you need more than anything else is patience. Next time I saw her, she was friendly with me, as if nothing had happened. She carried on giving lectures to the Horticultural Society. I carried on exchanging cuttings with her, and eventually she started inviting me back to her conservatory.
But how did you do the deed, Bernard?
It wasn't rocket science. We sometimes enjoyed a glass of brandy of an evening. And I told her that when I was in the Navy, I could polish off a whole glass in one gulp. But I didn't think a woman would ever be able to manage that.
Well, if there was one thing Mary liked, it was a challenge.
Only, it wasn't brandy, was it?
Some of it was. The rest was weed killer. And she downed it in one.
Surely she tasted it. She must have put up a fight.
She struggled for a few minutes, but it wasn't hard to restrain her, like holding down an inflatable doll.
Bernard, it's a very good thing that you've told us this, and I think it would be better in the long term if you went and told the police, huh?
Oh, the police. Thank you. Yes, I've got a lot to do before they get here.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just going to brush my hair. My photograph will be in all the newspapers. Typical. I couldn't get them to come to the jamboree, but they'll be swarming all over my doorstep any minute now.
James, what are we going to do?
We wait here till he comes back.
Are you mad? He could have gone to get a gun.
And there's nothing more likely to make him pull the trigger than the sight of us running down the garden path.
I'm phoning the police.
Oh, we're quite safe. He's in the kitchen combing his hair.
Bill, it's Agatha. In Bernard Spott's back garden. He's just confessed to the murder. He's gone inside. Right.
What does he say?
He says we're to get out of the garden immediately.
Really? I'd rather stay here. I'm a bit concerned about old Bernard.
James, what got into you? I thought I was the headstrong one.
He's just been pottering about in the kitchen. He had a glass of water, and then he disappeared.
Are you sure it was a glass of water?
Oh, Lord.
Bernard! Bernard!
James, can you do first aid?
I was in the army for 30 years.
Weed killer. I should have guessed.
There's not much I can do here, Agatha.
Well, pick him up. Make him walk up and down.
That only works in films, I'm afraid. And I don't think anything's going to work now.
Oh, Roy, thanks for coming to stay. I still can't sleep without terrible dreams of dying scoutmasters.
That's what friends are for, Aggie. And to build designer gardens for you.
I never did get to the bottom of that. Why were all the labels on the wrong plants? I was publicly humiliated.
Nothing to do with me, sweetie. I numbered them 1 to 100, left to right. I told Gary, just follow the path round.
Never mind. Anyway, Bill Wong was furious with us. He claims they were already on to Bernard, but thanks to us, all they've got is another body.
Yeah, well, at least he won't do it again. I mean, he could have poisoned the entire Carsley Ladies Society. Anthrax in the angel cake.
Roy, don't make jokes about it. It's not nice.
I'm just trying to take your mind off things. That James Lacey seems a nice chap, especially when he's got his shirt off.
He is. He's a thoroughly decent human being, and in spite of that, I still get on with him.
Well, shall we pop round then? Maybe we can have a look at his hernia scar.
I'd rather not. Funny thing is, when he told me that he had a hernia, the only thought in my mind was, oh, good, now I'll be able to win the gardening competition.
That's your gift, Aggie. You're always able to draw comfort from the suffering of others.
But when I heard he'd had an affair with Mary, it really hurt. I don't know why. I mean, the man means absolutely nothing to me.
Oh, dear. I sense a maudlin moment coming on. I'll just get some more gin.
No, Roy, it's in the cupboard on the left.
What?
No, I said the left.
Oh, I'm sorry, I get confused.
Roy, you don't know the difference between left and right.
All right, you don't have to go on about it. You know I'm 9/10 dyslexic.
So that's why I was humiliated at the garden festival. When you told Gary to put the labels on left to right, you meant right to left.
Honestly, Aggie, so you were humiliated. It's all you ever think about. Self, self, self.
Anyway, it doesn't matter now. I'm getting rid of it all. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to rip up every last plant and put down a patio.
Oh, Aggie, you can't do that. You can't destroy my beautiful back-to-front garden.
You can watch me. I've had it up to here with green things. From now on, I'm sticking with concrete.
In Agatha Raisin, Penelope Keith starred as Agatha, and Malcolm Sinclair was James. Roy was played by David Holt, and Bernard Spott by Paul Brook. Liza Sadovy was Mrs. Bloxby, and Ben Crow was D.C. Wong. Agatha Raisin was dramatized by David Semple from the novel by M.C. Beaton, and the producer was Carol Smith.